Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Hi.
It's good to be with you. Here's the deal. Here's what I decided on tonight.
What's up?
So Bouva, do you recall that, I'm trying to even think, were you on the show? Dan should remember. Dan, you remember the last time we did the game Non-Biblical Signs of the Apocalypse?
It was a long time ago.
I mean, it's like
years.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing that tonight.
I've been looking for signs ever since.
I think I was here for that, because I remember going through some of that.
Here's the deal. It's going to be a great show. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Jeff and Nancy Hanna are in the studio. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This is what gets weirder. I can barely see you. So they're going to be talking about the fish factory. Lots of cool stuff going on. This is here in the Des Moines area. And I've been kind of Facebook voyeurizing their establishment.
Oh, that's creepy.
And yeah. I know, but
to say it out loud,
hey,
too. It's one
here.
Thing to do it. It's another thing to go, yeah, I'm a creeper.
I'm legitimizing it tonight, am I not?
I suppose that's a valid point.
No. Here's the deal. If you look at the lady across the street and think, oh, I wish I could date her, and then eventually ask her out, then it was just preparatory work.
Man, there's nothing that's not creepy about
this. No, hold on.
That you're using.
I'm going to straighten this out.
Okay.
My wife is still creeped out of the fact I had pictures of her on my bulletin board before she knew me.
What?
That's before the interwebs.
Come on, guys. Did we give any non-creepy things about us?
Did it not work out, Dan?
Well, it did, but
that's
she
what
still
I'm
is creeped out about it.
The measure of success does not make the creepiness not there.
Anyway, the fish factory was on my bulletin board before we met. So anyway, we're going to... we're going to hear more about the Fish Factory, more about that ministry. I'm excited to hear from them. We're going to do non-biblical signs of the apocalypse. So this is where I give you a relatively current story in the news. And here's the deal. The Bible doesn't lay everything out. And frankly, you've heard me talk about my end times theology. It doesn't even fit the preposition of the game. However, I'm going to give you a news story. And we've been like, you know, the Bible really doesn't say this is what triggers the end of the world. But I feel like we might be on the way there. Something wrong with the world, all right? So we'll talk about those, and we'll see if we feel like these are non-biblical signs of the apocalypse, and we'll go from there. Bouva be talking. Bouva has give us a little preview on this week's Bouva be talking.
So in the last 45 days or so, people who have listened to the show for quite a while know that I've been dealing with being a big guy pretty much my whole life, right? Like I've been overweight and all the good stuff, been unhealthy, and it's not just like an obesity thing. Like it's an unhealthy relationship with food, and like an emotional attachment to food, where I should have an emotional attachment to God. And it's become an idol within the last year, probably really hard, and it's killing me. And so, kind of by the grace of God and the grace of my girlfriend's family, they kind of started out and talked to me a little bit about this thing called the Whole30. And I'm not going to talk about the dietary restrictions and all the good stuff, but I want to talk about what the last 45 days has meant to me when it comes to my relationship with me and Jesus versus just my relationship with food. And so Boov be talking about that kind of stuff.
All right. Boov is converting to be a Levite, and he's going to tell us more about it. All right. So let's we'll have of course, advice on Dear Live from the Path. The people, the world's going to need some help, and we're here to do that. So, yeah, Boov, you got that?
I sure do.
Okay, great. Alright, so let's meet Jeff and Nancy. So first of all, maybe tell us, for those unfamiliar, tell us a little bit about, the Fish Factory.
Wow, the Fish Factory, officially opened in October of 2015, but, it really came, to my heart and mind in 2010. And of all things, I was out mowing the lawn in Akron, Ohio, when, as if God said, I'm going to open your brain and soul and dump a whole lot of things you haven't even thought about. And he did. And so I'm being old. I ran inside and started writing things down as quick as I could. And it was as clear as a bell, what we were to do. And Nancy happened to be here in Iowa, and I called her and said, hey, the strangest thing happened, and shared it with her. And, So I was an associate pastor of a church in the Free Methodist Church in Ohio, at the time. We thought we could get that going in Akron, and then they asked us to move to Columbus, which we did, and we thought we could get it going there, but didn't run into much success. This was a different kind of ministry. And I just don't think people have the appetite for it. But,
so maybe tell me a little bit about that. Like, yeah. what is it that the Fish Factory is, and how was it different?
Yeah, there was very clear things. It's an arts and crafts consignment store. It's a bookstore, used bookstore. It's a coffee shop. It's safe space. That was the biggest thing, to create safe space for people to, no matter where they are in their life, to be able to walk in. And our goal is to create safe space so we can build relationships with them. And so that's been crazy fun, exciting, and sometimes frustrating, but we know we got to that place where we said either we're going to do this or we're not, and if we don't do it, it's kind of disobedience or it's negligence, and neither of those we really want to be a part of. So,
oh, yeah, right on.
So we moved right into the area we're ministering in Northside, Highland Park, and we live about four blocks from the place, started working with neighbors, and then opened this place up.
I used to live on Oxford.
That's no where way. We live.
4105 Oxford?
Well, you're, wow. we won't tell them where we live.
Yeah.
unless there's some other creepers.
But about two blocks.
This was 50 years ago for me.
Don't worry, I can help.
Okay. Just let me know. Ben can tell us right now where you live.
Let me know you need the address.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, he was there last night.
Come on.
So I don't know, that description of the place then, I mean, that's a wide variety of things going on, and just come from across the street Facebook stalking, there's a lot of a wide variety of events and things that you do to kind of reach out to the neighborhood. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We do. We have a lot of opportunities to reach from kids to adults. We have our regulars who come in. I have a guy who comes in probably every day I'm there to play cribbage, and he's 5 games ahead of me right now, but he comes in. We have people from just in the neighborhood who have time in the day to have a cup of coffee, to tell us what's going on in the world. Then we have our weekend events. My favorite is Wacky Waffles on the third Saturday of every month. We make waffles and give away waffles from 9 to 12. We had over 75 people last Saturday, from the youngest was probably a 6-month-old to probably my mom was 88 was there. Just a crazy time when people can come in and laugh and enjoy and build relationships. We also have a community dinner on the second Sunday of the month where the community can come in and just enjoy a free meal. Usually church groups or friend groups come in and serve that meal.
Okay.
One of the neatest events is on Saturday night. The first Saturday of the month is open mic night, live music. We never know who's coming in. We had an urban rap girl in one day. We've had some gospel. So it's open for anyone. We have a kid from local here right at Southeast Polk that has really launched his own CD, and he came in and he sings for us on a regular basis, and now he has his own CD, and he had his launch party at the Fish Factory.
Awesome.
So that provides a fun experience, and you meet a lot of crazy people. We had a drummer come in who just gets up and plays with everybody. He just doesn't even know him, but he's phenomenal. Yeah, it's nuts. And then this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the month, we have our casual relationship building worship at 6 o'clock at night, where we come open the doors at 5:30, have desserts, and then we have some songs and some worship and then conversation about what worship is. So we kind of get people engaged in that. And like Jeff said, our goal is to really build those relationships.
That's cool. Like, that's there's a lot of different things going on, a lot of different ways for people in the community to kind of engage in that. Have you found Jeff? So coming from the lawn, I guess. Is this is this hitting it? Is this, are these the bells that went off? Or the, is this what you were looking to do?
Yeah, it really is. You know, we're the good thing about it, and I love traditional churches, but sometimes they get a little bulky and trying to move and shift as things develop is a little difficult or slow at times. And so we're able to adjust. You know, for instance, we saw just a lot of folks with mental health issues. Well, that wasn't a group we were looking at necessarily targeting, but we've adapted to that. We work with that, and we're glad to have them. So we adapt, and like we say, we have different groups. It's funny because all of those events you mentioned actually have almost, even though there's some bleed over, but it really has four different audiences almost.
Right.
The music folks are not the waffle folks who aren't the worship folks. So it's kind of neat to have a wide variety of folks from the neighborhood. And we get people from surrounding churches who either they're not doing ministry like this to these folks in this area, and they like to just come down and hang out with us as well.
I'm sorry, I lost you, Jeff, when you implied that there's certain people that aren't waffle folks.
Well, I know that is.
I don't think that's possible.
That's sign of the apocalypse in itself,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
It's a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse. Hey, I don't want any waffles. Excuse me.
Although they don't have the waffle
you can't come
here,
in. Sorry,
like they have
that's where we draw the line. South.
It was fun this last Saturday. We had 10 city workers out working on our drain, and they were all in for waffles, and they had their fair share, so that was good.
Oh, man. Hey, now you said there's a guy that's up on you 5 games of cribbage. Did you know cribbage before then, or did you learn it to play this man?
Oh, no. I'm a cribbage player from way back.
She knows every game known to man.
And I'm a competitor, so I'm a little feisty with him, but...
So you're real close to Little John's Burgers.
Mm-hmm. Right next door.
Do you find yourself eating a lot of tenderloins?
They have waffles, man.
Yeah, we don't need tenderloins.
I know, but you can't have waffles 24/7. You got to have something for lunch.
Right. I don't know what's being said here. I don't...
Have you never had a Little John's tenderloin?
Where have you been, Ben?
No. I haven't had the tenderloin. I've been to Little John's. I get the chicken sandwich.
I would go back.
So how do people get in touch with you guys to start working at the Fish Factory as a volunteer basis of, you know, setting up a monthly thing with a youth group or a small group or something like that? How can people get plugged in with you guys?
Yeah, we have a couple volunteers. One thing that's been interesting, and again, whatever God's put on people's heart to style wise to minister in a particular way, that's great. But God's put it on our heart to minister in a particular way. And at times, I've been guilty of in my past, and some churches I've connected with have been guilty of coming on too hard, too fast. You know, we're not throwing Bibles or hitting people upside the head and that kind of thing when they come through the door. But what we want is folks who have a tender heart, who can just work on those relationships. One of our expressions is we want to show them Jesus before we tell them about him. And it's amazing to us when people come in and they want to volunteer, you know, I can tell fairly quickly. I throw out some scenarios and they'll give an answer. I say, well, that's a great way to do things, but really that's not how we operate. The whole long-term relationship is kind of a new, I wouldn't say new, it's called missional incarnational. You live amongst folks, you develop the relationships. It is amazing to us how many times we don't even have to initiate the God conversations. They see something in us and what we're doing, and they'll ask us about that, and then we can connect their story with God's story, and that's really our approach. So we've actually some folks who wanted to volunteer, we said this probably isn't the right place, you know, and others. But so we have to be careful. So we're glad we don't have lots of opportunities for groups to come in, but you know we've done cleanups. We've, like Nancy said, on our community meal, they've come in and prepared and served a meal and interacted with folks on the spot. So we have some things that people are able to do.
I suppose just coming in and hanging out, right? Like
absolutely.
Coming in, being hanging out, folk. Obviously connecting on, you know, Facebook and all that good stuff. But we love anyone who comes in. We always ask them to sign up. And if they want more information, we make sure we contact. Again, we've got some great people who just want to be part of it. It's what's really fun to see is – some of the regulars that you can see, it's their home now.
Right.
One girl came in that she didn't even make it to Waffles because she had to work, but she came in and she started cleaning up. last Sunday or Saturday, a guy came in for the second time and he said, do you want me to help you make waffles? So they're making it their place, which is really our goal, is
that's
that
awesome.
This is a community thing.
When you can move people from you come back and see the Fish Factory and the people here, when they start using we language, hey,
right.
We'd love to see you again. Come back and see us. You know, we know we've kind of crossed that bridge and that's a great place to be.
And you know, as God always works, we get out. We ourselves get out so much from this. This is not a place I would have picked to live. I grew up in Mitchellville. It's a nice, safe, small town. I could walk at midnight and be okay at that. I don't walk right now at right. past dark. But you know, it has opened my eyes to, first of all, it's opened my eyes to some prejudice that I didn't know I had, that I have. And so that's been really good for me. But God has brought people into my life who I would have never chosen to be my friends. And it's just amazing. You know, we're all the same. We need to be loved. We need to be forgiven. We need to be given grace. And that's it. That's what we need. And that's what we're there to provide. And that's what people provide with us in the same time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So there was, let's see, we were talking about the waffles because I remember the waffles. Oh, yeah, right. There was a ladies, there was like a women's event coming up at the Fish Factory. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Wow. That's going to be a heart wrencher. When we were in Ohio, Jeff had the blessing to officiate at a wedding of a young lady who married later in life, and she was so excited because God had provided her with this man who was just going to complete that circle for her. And beautiful wedding, great life. She's a school teacher. I don't recall what he did. But within a month, 1 month of their wedding, tragic car accident where he died, and she was brutally injured and took a long time to heal. But she is coming actually from Ohio on her spring break and is going to share her story, tragically transformed. We would love to have any of you local women out there. I want a packed house for her at the Fish Factory at 3720 Douglas.
Second Avenue.
Whoops. You'd think I'd know that.
I know it.
Thank you. But you know everything.
Creepers know those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure do.
6:30 on Sunday, we'll open up. God,
6:30
Tuesday on the 28th, and we open the doors at 6:30, and she talks at 7. And again, it's going to be a heart wrencher, but it's going to end with that hope that we all can have through Jesus.
That was, let's see, it was 6:30 on March 28th. Doors open 6:30. She starts at 7 o'clock. It's at 3720 2nd Avenue at the Fish Factory. Open to all ladies, right? It's a ladies only?
Ladies night, you bet.
Okay. All right. What, I mean, no. Booba says no.
No, okay. Just stop.
No. Okay.
I'm going to be there, I'm security.
He's the bouncer.
I'm security.
Okay. Fair enough. All
you
right.
Won't recognize you in a dress. That's Ben.
All right. Hey, we've been hanging out with Jeff and Nancy from the Fish Factory. Make sure to go on Facebook. You can find that. It's under Fish Factory DSM. On Facebook, and if you like that, you can be kept up to date of everything that's going on out there, all the cool events. It sounds like swing by. You said you do coffee, right?
Yeah, we're open Tuesday through Friday from 8:30 to 1, and then Saturday 9 to 3. So even if there's no event, we're open. We always say to folks, first drinks on us, if they coffee, pop, water, whatever they want. So it's free. So a lot of people pop in, grab something, and go. Other people come in and hang out. So
now, do you get into the specialty coffees? Or
no,
we're
more like for some of us older folks, it'd be like hanging around the old general store, and there's a good pot of coffee on. We
gotcha.
Get our coffee from Freedom for Youth. And so that's really excellent coffee, but no, we don't do the mocha latte, cappuccino, frappe stuff.
Good,
so.
That stuff gets good. Difficult.
That's a good thing. Just black coffee with
black
sugar and
coffee.
Cream. Is all
there
you
go.
No, I don't even do the sugar cream.
Perfect.
I just drink black coffee.
Straight black.
Yeah, all right.
And the cribbage board's always open, and the checkerboard's there. And
Is it hard to learn cribbage? It feels intimidating to me.
Well, do you have any math skills? Don't answer that if you don't want to.
I have a little.
Okay, then you can play cribbage.
Do you have to count to higher than 20? Because I'm out of limbs.
Well, we'll count for you after 20.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do it.
I have fingers, Booba. Fingers and toes.
No, I got that part.
Yeah, that's as far as I go.
Yep.
Yeah, is there online cribbage?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Boob.
There's probably an app for that.
I've never played cribbage before. So
you know, though,
I played it twice.
Boob is a great singer, though. One time you're going to have him because way back in seventh grade.
There we go.
He sang a song for us to remind him on what side of the country that the sun rises and sets. So, you know what?
Again.
You really should ask him to sing it.
You might need a whole show for that.
Yeah. People want to hear.
Yeah, give us a few bars, Booba.
I call it open mic on life in the past.
Okay, so here, I'm trying to remember more than two lines because I remember.
That might be all we're up to.
The sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. Oh, that's all I remember.
That's literally all I remember from that whole song. Wow.
But it got him an A on the test.
It did indeed. And I still remember that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Score.
When you're trying to figure out, is this morning or night?
Yeah, mnemonic devices that I created myself. It's awesome. Oh, man, that was fun.
That's
Let's never
do 100
that.
YouTube views right there. All right. Awesome.
I sense a new promo for Life from the Path.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do those two lines, and that's it for everybody.
Hey, you're listening to Life from the Path. Like I said, we're in studio with Jeff and Nancy talking about the Fish Factory. Like that stuff on Facebook so you can know what's going on. Drop in for for the first one's free cup of coffee, pop, water. Water's free, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just make sure stuff isn't turned. You know, the Lord's kingdom's turned on its head. Maybe water costs $8. I don't know.
There you go.
All right. So make sure you swing in there. They're going to hang out with us the rest of the show. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that they're going to do that because we're going to need some help. Hold on. Hey, Dan, I dug up the old promo.
Oh,
check this out.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Showing the signs of the apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm not so embarrassed anymore about my singing. That was awful, boys.
We're professionals.
Technical expertise is overtaking the show.
No one was injured during the film.
That's actually not true. But this is internet radio. You're allowed to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, you've been hanging out with us in Life from the Past. Here's the deal. These are non-biblical signs of the apocalypse. I'm going to read you a story, and based upon the outcome of the story, although the Lord wasn't extremely specific as to what goes down at the end of times, like I don't know some of this human behavior, you got to be like, that's a trigger. Something had to have gone wrong here. The Lord must return directly. So I will give you a few stories, and we'll figure out if we think this is a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse or whether we got some more time. Story number one. Chinese park skimps on toilet paper with facial recognition machine. Hold on. Wait for the details, Booba. Okay. The puns in here are terrible. It may sound like a bum idea. But a park in China is using facial recognition technology to dole out short strips of toilet paper in a high-tech experiment to wipe out thieves. They're having toilet paper thief problems in China. Said all the TP and restrooms at the Temple of Heaven Park in Beijing is now locked and dispensed by six machines that rely on facial recognition software to make sure no one takes more than their share, according to the New York Times. The machine only hands out about 2 feet of tissue. If that's insufficient, you have to wait 9 minutes.
What is 2 feet though? That's
what is the focus group on the length of that they dispense and the wait time?
Specifically 9 minutes.
said some locals said they fear Chinese government officials will use data gleaned from the machines to flush out dissidents.
Oh.
Huh, they gotta go sometime, I guess. Boy, that's tricky.
Mm. Oh man.
I didn't see that coming. Officials said the park is trying to make things easier by upgrading from one-ply to two-ply tissue, according to the BBC. There's multiple sources here. In addition, people who require more than 2 feet of tissue can flag down a park employee. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Excuse me, park ranger. I've waited my allotted 9 minutes, and I've
got
had
a little
my four
messy.
Feet. But I'm going to need a little bit
enough,
more. Can you help me, please?
I can't.
Do you have your badge?
Here's the deal. Never mind. If we encounter guests who have situations in which they urgently require toilet paper, then our staff on the ground will directly provide the toilet paper, a park spokesman said. Has he not thinking through this process at all? Like a person who has run out of the allotment and is trying to flag someone down is an inherently bad problem to have.
Right.
Is there a worse job you could have than being that park ranger?
Right, exactly.
The lowest position in the park.
I'm a toiletry dispensary agent for the Temple of Heaven Park in Beijing.
when there's real trouble, I go in.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You see, using expensive facial recognition machines to meter toilet paper may seem extreme to protect something of such low value, but an undercover investigation this month discovered thieves were how many rolls, Bova? How many rolls do you think they're stealing from park restrooms each day?
150.
Oh, well, that was a lot better than that's a lot worse than what they're projecting.
Oh, cool.
Pessimist,
apparently.
Let's see. The investigation said thieves were stealing 30 rolls of toilet paper from park restrooms each day.
Wow, that's at least $30.
That's per day. Well, they were one ply before, so let's go with 15
that's
bucks.
That's true.
Okay. Oh, there's a poor guy using the machine. The technology, the technologically advanced TP dispensers were installed for a 2-week trial period, according to the Beijinger.com. I am impressed with the wide variety of sources to contribute to this story. The New York Times.
Right. BBC was cited.
The Beijinger?
Do we know
which is an awesome name for a publication, first off. And second off, that's like a college paper. They've got to have quite a few sources in that. Wow. Okay, so.
Undercover, too. Don't forget the undercover.
No, that's right, exactly.
Like a sting operation.
So this park was experiencing thievery of their toilet paper, and so they've put in very expensive
facial
recognition. That adjective was put in there, right? Expensive facial recognition machines. So how long are they projecting that they're going to have to, or how many rolls of toilet paper they're going to have to save with their facial recognition software and machine to actually break even on the facial recognition machines?
Good point.
Let's say,
like, what's 20, the opportunity 000. Cost here? Like,
20,
that's a lot.
20,000 divided by 30 a day. How many days is that? How many? I mean,
oh, now we're getting into math again.
600.
I mean,
that's three. It's roughly 3 years, right?
Yeah, it's over. It's a little over 600.
By that time, they're going to need maintenance on that machine.
700 days.
Yeah, so 2.5 years. Yeah, you got to figure
and
it out.
And pay for the ranger. Don't forget his pay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
And how do you keep people from, like, going as pairs and getting two doses?
Or put in a bag over your face.
What if you have a mask on?
I'm guessing this expensive facial recognition software is going to see a bag and go, there's no face for me to scan, not getting toilet paper. What if Jimmy, get out of here. We know you're here again.
You draw a mustache and stuff?
Exactly.
I'd be sending all the kids up, get me some toilet paper, daddy's got to go.
Hey, there you go. You walk in with Mr. Potato Head. You figure out how far it needs to be, and then you keep putting different facial pieces on Mr. Potato Head. I've tricked the system. It's already happened.
All right. I don't know. Jeff, Nancy, what do you think here? Like, is this the end of the world? Is the world end of the world coming when we install facial recognition to dole out toilet paper? Or is this just a sign of the normal times?
I feel as if I'm wiped out from this whole discussion. No, I think it may be end times.
Yeah. Jeff says it's the end of the world.
It could be.
Could be a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse.
There
Nancy?
You know, I'm the optimist in the group, so I'm thinking it's just the normal behavior.
Normal.
This day and age,
Normal course of the world. You got to show your face to get some toilet paper, and they keep track of it. Even a dissident is going to visit the Heavens Park in Beijing.
Why is it the Heavens Park is the only place they're at?
Right, exactly.
Is this how it's going to be? Because
that might be a clue.
The imagery in Revelation has led me astray.
Now all the other parks got to keep up. I mean,
right? Like, what do the other park rangers have to say? Did you hear about Heavens Park? They got those facial recognition toilets? Those are crazy.
It's going to become a marketing thing, now offering 3 feet per face.
Yeah, exactly. 3 feet per face. Spring break sale, 4 feet per face.
Boo, what do you think?
All right, so here's the deal. It's under test right now. As long as it stays in testing and doesn't officially go to the rest of the parks in China, I think we got time. Okay. But I think I might change my answer when they go, yeah, this was a great idea. We should put this in every park, and we're going to talk to America too. So if that happens,
that will make America great.
Right. Oh man, 2 feet at a time.
Wait, so far you're saying right now it's just sinners testing their boundaries.
Right now it's not end times. We got time. We're not quite to Revelation, but I think if it happens worldwide, or even in a couple of big countries with good economies and stuff like that, have facial recognition toilets, I think we're looking at end times, boys.
Dan?
I think if they're cutting the Christians off of the 2 foot because of they don't have the mark. that
really, Dan?
Right.
Well, I think it's a sign of overpopulation and sinful nature we still have some time.
Okay.
But like I say, until they'll start cutting off the church,
You have to have like a toilet paper roll right above your right eye.
So if it comes out the thing and then it rolls back like a scroll, you're like, you know what?
This is exactly. Okay. That's a Jesus person.
It's obviously
you hit it
out.
And it takes back the 2 feet. Denied. It's like, now you get 7.5 inches. It's like, that's a problem.
So is the roll in front or behind? It depends on which way.
That's a good point. What does the government think about whether or not it goes over or under?
Yeah. How's it dispensed?
Yeah. No, it goes straight down. They skipped that
system. Oh. We'll never know.
Okay.
Trying to keep it from being
I wonder if this guy, the guy that's in these photos, did he agree to model for this as a man that has recently...
Or do you think it was like a bathroom camera?
A model?
Yeah. You have to wait every 9 minutes for the next photo, though.
He's got like salt and pepper hair. I mean, he's a decent-looking fella. All right, anyway. I mean,
maybe that's their normal Park of Heaven demographic, man.
Okay, here we go. Story number two, looking for non-biblical signs of the apocalypse. The New York court is to determine if chimp is legally a person. This is Dateline March 16th. So recently in New York from the Associated Press, should a chimpanzee be treated as a person with legal rights? That's what attorney Stephen Wise tried to convince a state appeals court in Manhattan of on Thursday. Wise, who represents the Florida-based Non-Human Rights Project, animal advocacy group, argued that two chimps named Tommy and Kiko should be freed from cages to live in an outdoor sanctuary, a nicer prison. Weiss has been trying for years unsuccessfully to get courts to grant the chimps habeas corpus in order to, he says, free them from unlawful imprisonment. What does he think the sanctuary is? Anyway, he says the apes, which didn't appear in court, deserve a better quality of life. If the court agrees, they would be sent to live with others of their species on one of 13 islands amid a lake in Fort Pierce, Florida, that compromised the Save the Chimp Sanctuary. A 5-judge panel will issue its ruling in the coming days or weeks. Kiko's keeper, Carmen Presti, says he's not giving up the chimp. He and his wife rescued the deaf chimp 23 years ago from a life of performing at state fairs and in the television movie Tarzan in Manhattan. They have the same trajectory in life as Judge Reinhold. Booba? No? Okay. Kiko is believed to have lost his hearing when he was beaten by a trainer and has medical problems requiring constant attention. If he's taken away, he could die without his family to give him the special care he needs and to bring him into the house to play, says Presti of Niagara Falls, New York, where he runs the nonprofit Primate Sanctuary, whose rescue animals are part of a youth educational program. Tommy was caged at a trailer lot in Gloversville outside Albany. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Boy, there's like another 10 pages of this article.
He's got serious about this chimp.
It says, Presti is not taking any direct legal action, but he has the support of attorney Bob Cohn, who also wrote a brief for the Albany Appeal saying there's no practical need to provide human rights to non-humans. A basic dictionary would do that. Still, Wise remains doggedly hopeful. The puns rock. Especially after an Argentinian judge ruled in November that chimps, in fact, have habeas corpus rights. We will win in the end, he said. Presti has his own view of the litigation. Albert Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, Presti said with a chuckle. But I believe he's doing this for publicity. What do we think? Non-biblical sign of the apocalypse or a normal course of chimp behavior?
I think this is just normal. This isn't end times, but this is ridiculous. I don't understand why they need this chimp to be declared a person in order for it to be taken care of correctly. Like, I guess I'm just confused on what that's for.
I mean, doesn't sound like he's being... I mean, he was rescued. He's in a nice sanctuary already.
Yeah, it sounds like he's in a sweet place. Like, is the chimp upset?
They just want to move him to, like, a Montessori sanctuary where he gets to direct his own behavior.
And he has to be declared a person and have habeas corpus rights... In order to do so? Because it doesn't sound like the other chimps have that.
I haven't seen...
Maybe he's going to get beaten up there because he's the elitist chimp.
Yeah, he's a... Well, I haven't seen Legally Blonde for a while. What's habeas corpus?
It's Latin.
Well, I get that part. Is it Latin for Waffle Saturday? What is it?
Yes, it's Latin for Waffle Saturday. And Waffle Saturday and cribbage board. That's the two definitions.
We just had a lengthy conversation yesterday about monkeys, believe it or not.
Oh, man, Dan.
My daughter and I have been trying to get my wife to let us get a monkey for years.
Oh, excellent, yeah.
Yes, we think it's a great idea. And she thinks it's a poor idea.
Uh-huh.
We did discover you can rent a monkey for a day for $48.
Whoa, wait, really?
You can give me that $48 and I'll wear my gorilla mask and
you can have a monkey party. No, it's a real monkey.
Hey, take my money.
But you get
$48?
There's a question and answer, you know, Q&A on the website, and it's like, what do I do if my monkey arrives sick or dead?
Oh.
I think that just made me feel like maybe
cancel
it's a bad
party.
Idea to
rent a monkey. No longer a monkey party.
That's right. Your party's over, bro.
That is a monkey funeral.
That's a pretty pitiful party. Dan, here you go, honey. You got
you. Oh! You had better officiate that funeral, Dan. Oh, you were a pastor.
I knew I shouldn't have gone with the $48 monkey's budget.
I should have done the $96 double.
For an extra $25, you can get an ape.
Is it a monkey or a chimp? There's a big difference.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's
monkeys.
Like I like spider monkeys.
Yeah, they're like the little monkeys. The
little monkeys, like spider monkeys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly. Oh, for another $25, it's an ape, though. It's like a chimp.
If you give me $48, I will just wear a gorilla mask around your house.
That doesn't count. If it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey.
If you gentlemen are willing to spend $50 on a monkey party, I feel like you should just give your money to me. So
will you throw your poo?
Come on, kids. We're going to pin the tail on the monkey.
Oh, man. Don't have a monkey.
Like, so that, I don't rent a monkey for $48. That might be a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse, Dan.
I think so. I didn't realize that was even here in Iowa. There are like monkeys.
It has to cost that to ship him.
You know, I didn't get into shipping costs.
Do you get the return envelope? Like, what are we talking about here, guys?
UPS will deliver it by drone. it's really kind of a cool thing. It's really part of the whole party atmosphere. Hey,
it's like, wow, this is great.
Actually, I'm with Jeff. I'll pay another $20 to have him parachute in.
Oh, heck yeah.
You get some kind of capuchin paratrooper that comes at you. That'd be awesome.
All right, what do we think? Dan, non-biblical sign of the apocalypse, we got more time?
I want to say we still have more time because they have not been declared. When they were declared human, then
Argentina did.
Argentina did.
Yeah,
worldwide, I think is what Dan's talking
about.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty legion.
Jesus
here.
Will come back in Argentina, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Because we can't see Argentina from here.
Just
work with me.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, I was going to say, I don't know where we're going with that.
I don't see the horse on the rider.
So you're saying when the United Nations recognize chimps as humans.
Our Argentinian listeners are very upset at you right now,
you can't hear the trumpet from here?
I bet you can hear the trumpet. It's probably pretty loud, man.
There's just so many things that don't work if it's just Argentina.
It's not going to work. He's got to come back to Chicago. ZZ Top got to run. He's not leaving. That's where he's coming. Okay, so Dan says we got more time. Buva, more time?
I think we got more time. I think this is just people being ridiculous.
All right, Nancy, how does your optimism hold up here? More
you
time?
You know, I'm going to have to go home and ponder so many things after tonight.
I can send you that website.
www.monkeyparty.com.
And she doesn't mean she'll be asking, why did I come here?
Hey, that's understandable.
I ask that every night.
Yeah, I do that for years now.
What was I thinking?
Seriously, I went back.
Talking about monkeys, really?
The show is actually a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse.
that's the ultimate joke. We are one of them. I'm sorry. If they don't own monkeyparty.com, I'm buying that.
Someone owns monkeyparty.com.
I'm going to find that person.
We're actually going to start an evening at the fish factory just for monkeys.
Monkey parties.
And you all are invited.
I would expect nothing less.
All right, wait. So that was just you're going to ponder this. You don't want to weigh in on it?
I'm saying we have a few more hours.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to check back in with you next week and see how things are going.
The end is not.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'm with everybody else. I think we're okay for a while, but we got to make sure these people quit monkeying around and doing stuff like this.
It's something to keep an eye on.
That's right.
Cautionary tale. All right, here we go. Hey, Buva, monkey party is open.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to buy it.
It's parked for free. I think you're going to have to bid on it. That's going to be a premium site.
That's fun. Okay. Monkeyparty.com.
All right, here we go. Last entry. Shaquille O'Neal says the world is flat and satellite imagery is fake. Basketball legend Shaquille O'Neal, this is Dateline this afternoon, say 2:30.
Wow.
Basketball legend Shaquille O'Neal appears to have joined the ranks of celebrities who sincerely believe the world is flat. On a recent episode of The Big Podcast with Shaq, co-host John Kincaid asked the star about recent comments from Kyrie Irving, a Cleveland Cavaliers player who recently became the subject of controversy in the U.S. by outing himself as a flat earther. O'Neal appears to wholeheartedly agree with Kincaid, saying, "It's true, the earth is flat." And he continues to explain, "So listen, I drive from coast to coast, and this stuff is flat to me." He continues, "I drive from Florida to California all the time, and it's flat to me. I do not go up and down at a 360-degree angle, and all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? You mean to tell me that China's under us? China is under us? It's not. The world is flat." It's just possible O'Neal was joking with his remarks, but numerous listeners believe he was being sincere. When asked about the existence of satellite imagery providing the world is round, O'Neal responded, "Satellite imagery could be drawn and made up." Kyrie Irving revealed he believes the Earth is flat during an episode of the Road Tripping podcast in February, telling listeners, there is no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us. They're particularly putting you in the direction of what to believe and what not to believe. The truth is right there. You just got to go searching for it. Another celebrity who believes the world is flat is Grammy-nominated rapper B.O.B., who posted a series of tweets last year expounding his outlandish theory. A lot of people are turned off by the phrase flat earth, he said, but there's no way you can see all the evidence and not know. Grow up. He also claimed to have seen for himself that the earth has no curvature. I was on a plane the same time the Red Bull jump happened, he wrote in another tweet. The pilot told us to look out the window. 5 miles to the left was the balloon. We were flying at the same altitude as the guy who did the Red Bull jump. No curve, even though their footage shows otherwise. Earth's flat, Bova. Earth's flat and celebrities believe it. Shaquille O'Neal says flat. I don't know. What are our thoughts here, boys?
Do we want to weigh in on the article or just whether or not it's an end sign of the end times?
Is it a sign of the end times that we're back on this, the world being flat?
Yes. And
says it is.
It is. And not only that, but because celebrities say it means that we have to put it in a publication. When it's Shaquille O'Neal says something like that, well, we definitely have to make certain that it gets on the internet. But if some random guy does it, it's not an issue. It's our problem with getting sorry.
How do we get celebrities with crackpot theories to come on the show? Because this is getting play. This is getting
some
play,
true.
Boys.
I'll start sending out emails and see if we can get Shaq and we can get B.O.B. on the show.
Is B.O.B.'s real name Bob?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, wait. Did I say it as if it's an acronym?
No,
it's
supposed
not?
To be B.O.B. He's a rapper. Okay. His name's Bob.
Because I was going to say Bob, but the final B was capitalized. Right? And I thought, I'm going to get this wrong and look like a fool.
He's a rapper and he goes by B.O.B. You were correct.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, he calls himself Bob all the time.
Okay.
Bobby Gray, whatever, a lot of stuff. this is end time.
The non-biblical sign of the apocalypse.
No,
we're reverting it.
No, I can't buy into that.
That it's a sign of the end time, or that it's flat Earth?
No, either. I'm from Ohio, the Ohio State all that. And what's in Ohio? The Cleveland Cavaliers. And where's Kyrie Irving playing with?
All right, fair enough.
Cleveland, okay. Uh-huh. And if he said it, hey, who won the championship last year?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, did you win the championship?
So you can't do that by being stupid. So he's a smart guy.
I feel like you can be intelligent in many parts of your life and still make bad decisions.
If the earth was round, wouldn't all the water run out of the lakes and stuff? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. Haven't you ever spilled
a
soda?
If we didn't have a giant core of molten metal that
created
magnetic force.
This is real stuff here.
That's true.
Gravity.
I don't know. They've made some compelling arguments. And I mean, and Jeff is a wise man who's done a good thing for Jesus. I feel like... He's compelling.
I feel like I need to rethink my marriage.
Oh, here's the teacher now.
I was going to say, I learned in seventh grade geography, all right, that the earth is round and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west.
Actually,
I know certain things.
So here's the falsity of seventh grade geography. I learned that that Germany was to the right of me. Now, here's the problem. If you buy a world map in Europe, the United States is to the right of that.
Uh-huh.
Everybody starts on the left. I was sold a bill of goods is what I was sold.
I'm sorry that you had an academic teacher that told you that Germany is to the right.
Where's Germany? To the right.
That makes me really sad that that's part of our school system that went, yeah, it's always to your right. That's like my mother used to be able to tell her directions based off of what mall, like where the malls of Des Moines were. And so she used to always know where South was based off of Southridge Mall.
Oh, right.
And she used to always know where West was based off of Valley West. And then I came of age, 12, 13 years old, and I went through seventh grade geography. And then I said, Ma, what happens if you're south of Southridge? And she goes, well, Southridge is still south of me. I said, no, it's north of you. I said, what happens when you're west of Valley West? She goes, it's still west. I said, no, it's east. And then she said, you stop talking. I refuted her logic.
What happens if you are south of Southridge? You must never go there, Simba.
You're lost.
That is outside.
That's a barren country. Don't go there.
That is outside of the boundaries of the Pride Lands. All right. So maybe some more time? Maybe some more time? Or that's the end of the
book? It's over.
I think that's a trumpet blast right there.
I mean, you're 3 months from rebuilding the Tower of Babel. Like we're unlearning everything we should have known better.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's like, come on, guys, look at a rainbow. We don't want to mess with this, but he's not going to flirt. But still.
And actually, that makes sense because we are regressing as a society. People are losing their fig leaves out in the middle everywhere. People are building the tail. Like, yeah, yeah. All right, I might buy into that. And Nancy, I'm real interested here to check back up with you in a week if you've had the time to really put the think on these things.
You know what? I will be telling you.
Okay.
I'm going to call this a labor pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Nancy's blog on the end times.
Sad for the people who have babies and all the good stuff. Labor pains are coming. Oh, no.
Is that a Braxton Hicks?
Yes.
That's what
it's been
is.
A while since we've been through that.
Never been through it, but I think I've heard that term before. That sounds like an R&B singer.
Here's the deal: if I was Doctors Braxton and Hicks, I would be like, you know, maybe don't name that after me.
I am not a fake.
I don't want people referring this to me. Oh, I'm in pain. Who do I think of? Braxton. all right. That was it. We're here to help you discern around, potentially non-biblical signs of the apocalypse. There you go. Think what you wish, but you'll be more wise to think what I think.
I think judging by our outcome here, maybe the message is they should just be ready. Because it may be.
Yeah.
I don't think that's our message. I think that's one of the Bible's messages we can just
Mark 1, Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. I feel like it's timeless. toilet paper distribution in China or otherwise, let's just do the repent and believe in the gospel. I think it'll be fine.
I love that.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're a virgin, don't go ahead and blow out that oil lamp.
I wonder what the monkeys do with facial recognition.
I don't know, especially when they're pronounced people.
You know what would be rough times? If a monkey came in and got 2 foot of toilet paper and then you showed up and it mistook you for the monkey and didn't release toilet paper.
That would be awkward.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to pray for y'all.
I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
But if you have three monkeys, you can keep
sending them out for more.
Yeah. It would be harmful to my ego, I'll tell you that. I think very highly of myself.
If you watched a chimpanzee leave the bathroom, and then you walked in and went, hey, toilet paper robot, and then it goes, I know you, chimpanzee, and doesn't give you the 2 feet of toilet paper.
Yeah. Wait your 9 minutes, buddy.
Exactly. Then you're sitting there having to either have already gone to the bathroom or waiting to be taken care of.
Oh, it's Cornelius.
And you're just sad.
Actually, that wouldn't hurt my vanity at all, because here's the deal. I told my wife this today. I said, look, I was born this way. I can't help the way I am. You, on the other hand, said yes to this. So that seems like you're a problem.
I might have to use that someday, and I appreciate
wise,
that.
Wise stuff.
You said yes.
All right. Anyway, you're listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, if you want to catch past clips of the show, and I mean you got nothing else to do, want to catch past clips of the show, you can go to livefromthepath.org. There's musical performances out there. Lots of cool stuff. We had Michael Everton was in here last week. Did a great job. Did a fantastic job. Real interesting cat. So go back and you can listen to the folk show, hook up with the podcast, but also go back and listen to those tunes. Driven 11 was here the week before that. Egypt Ali was here. Like, lots of cool folks rolling through the show. And, of course, this show will be available if you want to revisit regrets in your life. You can certainly do that, and that'll be out on the website. Speaking of further regrets, or potentially not, the opposite of that. Hold on. What did I call it? Hey, Boova be talking. Go ahead, Boova.
All right. Like I kind of said earlier, I think that our habitual listeners, the two, over the last couple of years that have seen me for a couple of years know that I've always kind of struggled with that whole weight loss thing, right? You know, I was a big kid in high school, and I was a bigger kid after leaving high school, and I mean that from the perspective of size-wise, and I just didn't mature yet. It's always been an issue for me from the perspective of almost an addiction, right? Like a full-blown emotional attachment. And it spearheaded when I lost my parents. And it just became just this cycle of bad that rather than running to God and the relationship that I knew that I had and said to people that I had, instead I ran to food and I would do awful things. Like, not going into too much detail. Like, I'm fine with explaining it, but like, I would be eating fast food 3-4 times a day. I'd be binge eating constantly. I would hide, in my apartment because I was so ashamed of like what I was doing and I didn't want my family to know what I was eating and stuff like that. Like it was that bad. It's been, an issue between me and God for a long time because as it became more, of a Christ follower and starting to truly give my life up to Him and understand what that looked like and try and give up each individual piece, like I started realizing that food was not only just an addiction that I had, it was an idol for me. It was something that was taking the place of God because rather than running to God as my father and running to Jesus as my savior. I ran to food as my savior, right? Like I went to the church of Ronald McDonald, not to be just funny, but to be serious about that. And it saddens me that that was going on. And it's always been a problem for years and years and years. And at one point in time, I was over 640 pounds at 19, 20 years old. And my dad died of a heart attack at 44. And he was only about 100 pounds heavier than that at his peak weight. And so I got this smack from God in reality that just said, you're on the fast track to where your father was. You're never going to meet the woman that you're supposed to marry. You're never going to meet your children, and you're never going to be there for your grandkids. And then more importantly, you're wasting the time that God has given you on this earth to be fruitful for his kingdom, not just your own body. And so I've struggled with that, and I've gone back and forth, and I've had periods of happiness and periods of sadness in that. And like, God's really helped me through a lot to where, you know, within the last 4 years, I've lost close to 200 pounds, if not a little bit more than that. But it's always been like this thing where I tackled the physical problems, but I never tackled the eternal problems. I was really good at eating the right stuff for a diet for 2-3 months, and I'd lose weight and I'd do really good. And then I'd kind of fail, and I'd start eating worse again, and I'd start gaining weight, but never really all of it back. And then I'd kick back into it. But like I said, I had kind of gotten down this physical perspective, but I never really figured out the problem between me and God. And I never really put it in that light. I said that I did, but in my heart, I really didn't. And 40 some odd days ago, a little bit longer than that, I had a chance to go see my girlfriend in Pittsburgh and spend some time with her family. And her family is loving and wonderful, and I am so grateful for them. And I honestly, like, I'm looking forward to them being my in-laws the rest of my life. But they kind of called me out on my health, and her mom decided to send me this book that was about this this lifestyle change, right? And I'm not going to go into that because I'm not trying to give them a bunch of publicity, whatever. But I decided that I was not only going to do this from the perspective I wanted to get healthy, and I wanted to lose weight, and I wanted to reorient my brain and my emotions when it came to food. I honestly took it as, how can I use this worldly tool in order to strengthen my relationship with Christ and strengthen my need for God? And so I took this 30-day challenge that was eliminating all the bad food from my life, right? Like eliminating dairy, eliminating wheats and all breads of any kinds, eliminating any sugars, added sugars. And I'm a type 2 diabetic, so that was a big deal too, was eliminating sugars. I've needed insulin for years, and I've been in the hospital for weeks at a time because of diabetic things, and I've almost lost a leg because of diabetes and all that awful things. But so I decided to take this 30-day challenge, and I looked at it as, this is not only me giving up physical food, it's me giving up food as powerful in my life. From the perspective as an emotional addiction, but not even that, it is a it is an idol. It is a problem between me and my father. And so to really dig into it, I decided that every time that I was weak and completely broken for food, which made me sad at how often it was, I decided that I was going to take that time and I was going to run to my father, and that was in prayer, or that was in worship, or that was in reading my Bible, or that was reaching out in my relationships to find some fellowship between me and another Christ follower. And things started changing within days. Within days of not eating that kind of stuff, it was not only this thing where my body felt better, but it was this incredible feeling of this emotional freedom that was finally happening. And it was like God was taking apart a wall that I put up years ago. It was this room that I refused to let him in, and it was this part of my sin that I refused to let him have. And I was slowly opening the door, and it was like he had this key that I didn't know existed or didn't know that I needed, that just unlocked this problem and this idol and this issue with me. And I cannot tell you so many ways that this has helped me physically in the last 45 days. Like, I've lost close to 40 pounds. I've lost almost 7 inches off my waist, and a whole cornucopia of more things along those lines. But like, more importantly, I have fallen completely and utterly in love with God from a dependence perspective. And I've never gotten that. When I lost my parents, I did okay at running to him and realizing that he was my savior and he was my father. And I lost the relationship I had with my earthly father so that I could find one with my heavenly father. And that was great. But more importantly, I never had this eternal and physical dependence on God, because I'd always satiated myself with that, with my food or going and doing awful things when I was a big drinker long, long time ago and things like that. And just within these 40 days, it's been, no, I want to run to my papa. Like, like a child running to the one who's got to be there. And it's been so freeing, and it has been so wonderful that I have this closeness that I never knew that I was missing. Like, I honestly felt like I had that relationship with God for years, but like, it always felt like I was holding something back, but I didn't know what it was. And he's kind of unlocked that. And it's been this reckless abandon for running to him and crying in the middle of the night because I want something that I can't have, but knowing that God is my ultimate satiation of my desires, and knowing that he is the one that completely takes care of that for me, but I never let him. So finally, deciding to let him was absolutely incredible. And I've been trying to think of how I wanted to play this, if I wanted to talk about why it's been such a success for me, or if I wanted to talk about why it's such a big deal. But I think the biggest thing that I can give you guys is the fact that if you realize that there's something in your life that is that idol, that is something that you're addicted to, and it doesn't even have to be a normal addiction, what you're thinking of when I say that word, like some kind of drug addiction or alcohol or food or gambling or sex addiction, all kinds of things you could be addicted to. It doesn't have to be one of those big ones that we know about. It can be something in your life that just stands between you and God, whether it be a certain sin that you're giving into or all kinds of things. When you finally decide that will have no power over you because you are a son or daughter of the living King of the universe, and you decide that your relationship with him as your father is more important and more sustainable and more satiating than any earthly thing that you can grab onto, it is freeing. Incredibly so. Mm. And it is so wonderful to finally be in his arms the way that I've never felt like in my life. And how many things he's blessed me through within the last month and a half. Like, how many things have just been fixed that I didn't even realize were an issue. Discipline that I didn't know that I had that is finally coming back into my life. Energy that I didn't know I could have is back in my life. And I finally have an outlook where I can't wait to see my grandkids.
Mm. Is there let me ask you this. Is there a tangible fulcrum there? Because, like, I think what you're describing is something that not only have I heard, I think a lot of people express as being true and something that they want, but I'm certain that it's something that you've expressed, like,
yeah, oh,
would have described as true, or something that you wanted.
I have.
In the past years, right? So, like, what's the difference here? Like, what's kind of the fulcrum that otherwise makes this different than some of the people where they're struggling to grasp what it actually means to act to be dependent upon God for something like that?
So, the thing that I had to grab onto was my girlfriend. And I caution that because, like, I had to really think about that because I stopped myself and I'm like, am I doing this for her? Am I doing this for our relationship or something like that? Is it going to fail because I need to be focused on, like, my relationship with God? But, like, I want to marry that girl. And I think I've said that on the show before. And if I haven't, here you go. But it's something that I've never had that perspective.
Right.
For years, I've always had me, and I've always had what I want God to do with me. And that's a strong feeling, but it's never been, I want to be there with her in 60 years. Mm-hmm. And not just from the perspective of our relationship, but like for our kids and for our grandkids and for the fact that I know she is passionately in love with Jesus. And I want to be there with her to be able to do that kind of stuff. And we've talked about, she's actually in Africa right now. She's running a part of an orphanage in Madagascar. Mm-hmm. And I want to be there doing that. And I don't mean that just saying, oh, I want to be there for it, like physically there with her. And I can't do that the way that I am. It's impossible. I can't go to Madagascar and live off of rice and kinds of stuff like that, or go and like completely give myself to my mission for God if my physical body can't handle it. Mm. And it's been something that those two big factors that, A, I want her forever, and whatever that turns into, whatever kids that means or grandchildren or whatever that means, but also, if my physical presence and body is a problem between me and what God is calling me to do, then it is no longer an issue where I'm just saying, hey, this has got to go. But it is an issue where I am standing in the way of the will of God with my daily decisions. And that, as a Christ follower, cannot stand.
So it's interesting then, like, of how often, you know, maybe we are not, we don't notice or not afforded the perspective that says, I actually get to witness tangibly
how kingdom work is being held back by the thing that I'm worshiping.
Right.
Right, because, like, you would know that. Everyone would say that. Like, hey, obviously, if something's going on that's otherwise keeping me from living in freedom and feeling it, because there's a lot of people who know true things and they live in prisons, and that right. sucks. That sucks to be in that position. And it's actually, I think it's that fulcrum that you're talking about. Like, it's the thing that where you tangibly get to, you get to see the motivator and to be able to see, to want to serve God, to grow kingdom, to be part of loving people and like changing the world with good news, and to be able to see or get a perspective that otherwise shows you, here's what you want, here's what you can't do. This can't happen.
Right.
And to come to the place where what you want more is to be able to do that work.
Absolutely.
Is to be able to be part of whatever God's got going on. And you say, you know what? 9 times out of 10 or every calendar month prior to that point, I chose the me thing because right. I actually wanted, the truth yeah. was I wanted it more.
Absolutely.
I wanted the thing that served me in some way or another more. At this point though, I know that I want what Jesus is pointing me to. I want that more than this thing right here.
Right.
And to be able to see that seems to be like something that is able to contribute to rightly having as a motivator. And it's not a false thing. It's not a bad thing to say, hey, God has given me someone who has been able to provide me the perspective to see what has actually been
right.
hindering me from doing what God is doing.
Right.
That's a blessing. That's great.
Absolutely.
I think that's difficult for people because I think we grow up with a faith that is a very verbal acquiescent faith
yeah.
that says, yes, I believe the things. I think the things are good. But we often don't get to live in the freedom that comes with it. We don't get to be part of good works that we were created to do. And to actually see good news change the world because, We often miss the perspective that will show us what we don't get to be a part of because we're serving the us thing as opposed to following Jesus and laying down the other things that we were pursuing on our own.
Well, absolutely. I've been praying for a long time, asking God to kind of open up my eyes to what he's got for me and like what he wants me to do.
Cause yeah.
like, I've taken inventory of my spiritual skills and like all these gifts and stuff like that. Like, what does God have me doing?
I got the Scantron, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dear Lord, I took the online survey. Like, what do you want me to do with this? Right. But like, it was not an issue until it was brought to my attention that you've been asking for answers to this life calling. You've been asking God to tell you what you want to do. And then when you finally start figuring it out, you realize that you are completely in the way. And that destroyed me. Mm-hmm. Like, it killed me because I'm sitting here thinking like I try and be faithful and I find myself foolish in most things. But I'm like, I want God to speak to me. And then he shows me this kind of deal. And it's just like, dude, Boova, move.
Would you say that you knew that? Like long term, if you look back and say, like, I knew this thing was actually part of the issue, or was that a surprise to you?
So it was in the back of my mind,
yeah.
I knew. So I think it was something that I refused to really admit.
Yeah.
Was that I've been asking God to give me purpose and stuff like that for a long time, and I really haven't heard a whole bunch of it.
Yep.
But there's no way that could be my fault, right? Like, that's got to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it finally came into play where I'm just like, hey, man, there's a good chance God has been screaming at you about this for a long time.
Yeah.
But you are just stuck and in the way.
Yeah.
And not really listening to what he's saying and trying to listen for what you want to hear
yeah.
rather than the other one. Because, I mean, it'd be great if I could eat all my favorite foods and love Jesus and do what he wants me to do. But I certainly don't want to move to Africa and then be the guy that's always laying on the couch in his house that's just like, bring them to me.
Right.
And
growing the kingdom one chicken wing at a time.
Hey, I know that they're in a village somewhere, but like, if you could just move them over here because I can't walk that far.
Mm.
And I'm like, dear Lord, Boova, like, seriously, here's the deal. You are in a situation where you are passionately in love with your Father and your Savior, and you are so in love with the fact that he's got people that you want to love on, but you're seriously stuck by the fact that your knees hurt when you walk, and the fact that you're not certain you could figure out a diet. I'm not going to use the word pathetic, but that certainly came in my head until God, that was a Satan thing where it's just like, hey man, you're pathetic. I'm like, no, I'm just a work in progress.
Right.
And I no, need to think
I'm
about
blind
that.
And this is working.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so it was, I truly mean that. Gianna was a big deal and I'm glad that I have her, but like more importantly, I realized that it was a huge deal, that I realized that I was in, I was stopping with powerless to be it, but I was stopping God from doing what he needed to do with me. And there's a good chance that this is not going to turn into me going to Africa.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. Mm. If this just means that I get to go out and I meet somebody while I'm running down the road because they go, wow, you're a big dude that's running. And I go, heck yeah, I am. Do you know Jesus? And I probably won't go like that. I'll probably just start running with them, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Do you know Jesus
no,
is the bread of
life? Just like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, did you know that Jesus is the bread of the life? I can't have bread right now. Do you want to talk about it? No.
I sweat it all over this pamphlet. Do you want it?
Exactly.
I've got a Bible tract with me. Do you want it?
See, you don't have the bread of life.
If this doesn't turn into this divine purpose, that's fine.
But right, it's not the point, right?
If I'm wholeheartedly giving my day to day, hour to hour, second to second to giving God that.
That's what it was after anyway, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right? Like it's finally something that I wanted to give God my daily routine, but as long as it didn't inhabit my meals, which are a big part of my day. I didn't want to give God my day-to-day exercises, but I wanted him to have my heart, but not physically, because that's a piece of crap. I want him to have the spiritual one that loves him, but not the terrible one that I've got right here that I'm treating poorly by eating fast food and by giving into things that I love, and rather than running to him. And it's just so wonderful to finally be on the other end of that and looking back and going, a month and a half ago, I was standing in front of God going, take me, and not being able to.
Yeah.
And the whole here am I, send me thing. And he goes, you're not healthy enough to do it. Right. That was humbling. Yeah. And it's been a wild ride. It has been so crazy. Like this story goes on for hours, as Ben, you know. Like we talked for a long time, and I gave you the truncated version.
Yeah.
This story spans years and years and years and is just flipped in a month and a half. Of God, just me focusing on him more than I ever have. And I'm so excited because there is so much more room for me to improve, which means that the little improvement that I've done with my diet and exercise in the last month and a half is completely tantamount to just this huge thing that I can do with giving him everything. And I know there's stuff that I'm still not giving him, which means that there's more room for me to grow and fall in love with him. And I'm so excited that the rest of my life is just going to be figuring out more things to give to him. And he can show me more parts of my heart that he unlocks that I go, awesome. That just means there's more room for you and people. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I like to think of it as Jesus as the contractor, as a remodeler.
Yeah.
And you,
oh, absolutely.
And you, you're at the point where like you were redoing your kitchen and you said, you know what, Jesus? I know that you're here and you do this remodeling work. Why don't you take the kitchen? And then slowly but surely you agree to actually hand over the living room and
yep,
the bathroom
exactly.
And all the other stuff that you were hiding as opposed to like, you know what, I think I got this one.
Right. I'm a joyful guy. I really am, and I'm excited about that. God's given me that, and I'm pumped about the last 5 years of my life and all the work that he's done, and I'm just so excited at the fact that every day that I'm choosing this, I'm giving him possibly more and more days to continue to work.
Yeah.
And that just makes me super excited. Like, I know my parents would be proud if they're here, and I know that my friends are proud of me, and my family's proud of me, and my girlfriend's proud of me, and her parents are proud of me, and all this stupid stuff. But, like, more importantly, I'm so excited that I can finally even envision that God's just looking down and going, dude, Buva, well done. You gave up on that crap. Like, you've done it for a month and a half. Let's keep going.
Right.
And, like, it's this whole thing that, like, I don't want to stop anytime soon. And I'm excited about that because for the first time, it's something where I'm not constantly reminded of my failure, but I'm constantly reminded of his success.
Right. Right on. If there's a – I don't know if there's a – there's a bunch of tangible things you I think you could take away from that. But I think one of the big ones would be there's – you can fake that stuff and put a lot of effort into faking it, but there's not freedom in it. And so you know, I know I've talked to plenty of people who've been there. I've been there myself at times where, like, I feel like I'm saying, God, do whatever you want. Like, I want to do it. I want to be on. I want to do what's going on. But really, I was offering, like 95%.
Right.
Like, there's always a 5%. You know what? You know you're holding it back. I was talking to someone recently who had said that when people are addicted to things, like, they know it. Like, they know it, and they know it's wrong. Like, there's even people that are – you know, heavy addicted to something and they have it as a lifestyle, like it, at their core, they know it.
Right.
And the truth is that, like, with any examination, I can tell you what, like, if I'm saying, God, hey, I'll do whatever you want. What do we got going today? But I know the 5% that I'm like, no, I don't want to. And the truth is God's not after that because he says, like, I hate everything you do. He's after that because it's the thing that you're otherwise saying, I don't trust you with it. And right. Like, it is within the full trust that then, like, you just get to sit back and say, yeah, just watch Jesus do sweet stuff with your life. Like, things that otherwise are in service to other people that look like sacrifices that you look back and say, what a joy. I got to be part of that. And Jesus was able to do those types of things through me. I was blessed to be chosen. I got to see the world change with good news simply because I stopped holding on to some of those things. And like your greatest success is when you give it up. But the truth is that most of us, and this is true for an often pale lip service Western Christianity, is like, we just don't marry that stuff up. We are like 95% in, and you might as well be 10. Like, right. to what you're missing out on, yeah. You might as well be 10. Like, you're missing the freedom that's there. You're missing the joy that's there. And that five is the big five.
Right.
That like, the thing you're holding on to the most is the thing Jesus wants the most for that reason. Because it's on
the freedom's on. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Freedom's on the other side.
It's like you've rented God a couple rooms in the Buva temple, and
exactly.
he wants to own the place.
Oh, absolutely. Agree.
Yeah, we do that.
I'd like to purchase the place. Well, I don't
know. Now, just stay in this room over here.
All right. You're listening live from the Path. Buva, thanks for sharing that. Appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely, man.
If you have any questions for Buva, maybe you're going through something similar. You can hook up with him on Twitter. It's at Troy Engeldinger.
I think I should be my Twitter handle is at Troy Engeldinger. You can hit me up on Facebook too, Troy Engeldinger, and just if you like Live from the Path, you'll find me on there also. If you're thinking, wait a minute, isn't his name John Buva? No, it's actually Troy Engeldinger. So, and I mean that sincerely. He's saying that, but I'll echo that too. Please contact me. Like, one of the things is, you could be a support for me, but more importantly, I think Jesus can be a support for the both of us. And so if you've got questions, please hit me up on that stuff. I'm happy to talk about any, if it's addiction, if it's just, hey, you know, what's been going on with that, or if it's just, hey, great job, Buva. I'd love that too. So please hit me up on Facebook, or on Twitter. And, you can also send us an email at info@livefromthepath.org. Yep. And I'll get that too. So.
Yep. We make sure you get it. And I will say this too, like, I've been coming alongside a guy going through, Celebrate Recovery. And it echoes a lot of the stuff that Buva's talking about. And the truth is like, one of the things that program does is like, they don't care what your issue is. Like, they just don't
right.
care. Like, it could be anything. And like, it's preposterous because you think to yourself, how could a group of people who have no technical skills say they can solve just about any problem? And the truth is they can, because ultimately it's a you and God thing. It's a Jesus thing. Mm-hmm. And so like, everything will refine itself down to basic things. Most likely, it doesn't mean you couldn't use some extra help. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, like, people's problems are just tend to be different flavors of things that Jesus is otherwise ready and willing to deal with. And so it all becomes very much the same issue after about 6 weeks. And it's why you can walk in the door and have, you know, the weirdest thing going on in your life, be having an addiction that no one else has ever had. And at its core, Jesus got something for it. And you'll find that the people with porn issues are really struggling with very similar things as people that are having problems with heroin. Like, I mean, like, I'm not joking. Over time it molds out to be similar things. There are different physical things that go into some of that you have to learn to deal with. But like, at its core,
it's harder than needs Jesus.
Yep. Like, and it's the same. It's with food. It's with all, like, everything. It all kind of blends into the same thing. So just also, that is a good support infrastructure. Having just kind of sat in on it for a while, I like it, and I think it's very valuable. It does things that the church should do. It gives you close community. It gives you the ability to meet Jesus where you're at, and to be there with other people who are in the similar place. And so it's just a cool program. It's not specific to a church, right? So if you're interested in that, just know there's nothing that you're going through that they can't help with. Just because there's nothing you go through that Jesus isn't on board with, that he can't help with.
Right.
And so just do a Google search. You'll find one around you within 30 miles guaranteed, and hook up with that. There's nothing too minor either. Just because there's other people that are going through what you would consider to be a big thing. If it's a hang up of yours, if it's keeping you from Jesus, like, whatever it is, just go. It'll be fine. It's a good program. Alright, so do you have some, Buva?
Yeah, you ready for some
Dear
Life from the Path?
Yep, so we're gonna get ready to round at the show. Let's do some, advice on Dear Life from the Path. Just to remind you that we're hanging out, also in studio, with the folks from the Fish Factory. You can go check that out, and we said strongly encourage you to go like it on Facebook. And
someone just did.
Oh, right on.
I was going to say, I did that. Like 30 minutes ago, so wow. Super easy.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
It's just a search and a thumbs up.
Exactly.
It's like living the dream.
I did it too.
Dan's in.
Oh, man, you're great. You're climbing.
You can do it too.
All right, Bubba, go ahead.
All right. Dear Live from the Path, when I was growing up, I was always told to remove my shoes when visiting another person's house, especially if they have new flooring. Now that I'm an adult and building a new house, I would like to ask people to remove their shoes upon entering my home. I have young children, and expect family with other small kids will visit. I'd like to keep the floors clean and maintain their good condition. Would it be tacky or rude to ask this of visitors?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't do it. Like, I mean, I don't have that in my place, but like
even with the new floors?
Yeah, no, I don't put floors in my house that I would care about that
I much. Was gonna say, is it part of just being a host? If you're gonna have people at your house, you kind of expect that something, not every time, but something bad's gonna happen. I mean, there's gonna be a mess sometimes if you have a bunch of people.
Sure,
with
it. Yeah,
but right? I mean, I do check. Like when I go into a house, I look to see whether they have shoes piled up at the door. And so, like, I mean, it's a pretty common thing, but like, hey, shoes? No shoes? I don't think there's a big stigma, nor are you, like, super stuck up to, like, ask people to take off the shoes. I wouldn't sweat it. I'll just put it that way. I wouldn't worry about it from a hospitality standpoint, but I wouldn't sweat it if you feel like it's a deal. Then just say, hey, you mind taking off your shoes? Like, I'm just not that offended by it.
Have you ever been, like, you kept your shoes on, you walked in, and someone's asked you to take your shoes off and walk back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 They're the same people that have a timer on their toilet, so it's all right.
Or they have
face recognition. 9 more minutes,
or
you're going to
have
2
more plastic things on the couch, you know. Don't sit on the couch, please.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. It's not that big of a deal. Like, I think that this person is looking kind of too far into if they're being rude or tacky. I mean, if you want to, just ask.
It's like, it's your house, do what you want, but I think it is tacky.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but at the same point in time, just go... All right. Well, I mean, I'm going to clean the floor anyway.
There's a lot of things that are tacky. I just, like, that one seems a little bit nominal to me. I just, like...
If you're polite, like you say, if you're polite, you're going to look. But everybody's not polite.
Right. And here's the thing. Here's what I would do is I would say, I think most people will check.
Yeah.
And some people won't. And then they're going to figure out that everyone else is in socked feet, and they're probably going to do it on their own.
That's exactly what every time I look for shoes. I'm like,
that's
are
why
the
I
shoes
carry
the door?
Extra slippers, so you can slip off the shoes, put on the slippers, you're good to go.
Do you own slippers? Boo, you got slippers?
I have house shoes.
Yeah, there you go.
House shoes?
House slippers? Shoes.
What is that?
The kind that you only wear
Here's
in the house.
Deal. I say house shoes, and the only reason I know they're called house shoes is when I ordered them, they were called house shoes. Wow. Now, do I know the difference between house shoes and slippers? Absolutely not.
Jeff, what do you have slippers or house shoes?
Yeah, I have multiple pairs.
He's loaded with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like you never leave home without them.
I had no idea.
They're wonderful. I bought a pair. Okay, I'm a big guy. I have enormous feet. And so I decided, I was like, I can never find shoes, but I'm gonna spend some money on some legit house shoes.
Yeah.
They were one of the best decisions I've ever made in my entire life. They were like $85
because
I have size
the
enormous
kind,
feet.
They're really nice.
Oh, yeah.
They're
it was
great. Feet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm flabbergasted at this. I don't even
you
know.
You were about to spend $48 to have a monkey come to your house. Or
and
a couple
you won't,
I can have for
you
less than double that.
Shoes.
I have a pair of house shoes that are durable and are wonderful and feel good on my feet.
I could almost have 2 monkeys for what you paid for those shoes. That memory
That's
will
true.
Sail.
You could have 2 days. You could have 2 days of a monkey party, but I can have years of comfort.
Dan, do you have slippers?
I have a pair of slippers that are really annoying me because they're somehow, this never happens to me. They're a little too big. And so as I walk around the house, they fall off my feet.
Oh.
And I get mad and I throw them at the wall.
Hey, man, what size are they?
What?
What size are they?
I don't know. I wear 13s. But,
okay, not even close.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if they're too big, you want to hand me the pair of house shoes?
Hey, you guys can conduct your man slipper business on a different time.
All right, fair enough.
We don't have to do that. Nancy, do you have slippers? Like, do you take them with you out of the house?
No.
No, okay. You don't travel with them.
Yeah, and I warned her about that.
Hey, listen, I'm on a different wavelength than you boys right here, okay?
I'm redoing our basement, and she realized that there's actually nails on the floor down there, and then your sock feet.
House shoes will do perfect for that.
You need house shoes.
Wait, they'll stand up to nail penetration?
House shoes have tread on them, no problems.
I had no idea. I had no idea this part of the world existed.
Great.
All right, so recommendation, we said, it's a little tacky.
It's a little tacky, but like... Maybe you should look into getting floors that you're not so freaked out about. Like, I get it looking nice, but, like, not too many people are just going to stare at your floors and go, wow, you must have spent a lot of money on those.
I mean, she said she has kids, right?
Yeah.
That's
it.
You got kids.
I mean,
it's just
going
to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, if you have young kids, like, you're expecting to have those kids in the house for 15 more years.
Nah.
Like, you really think you're going to put in nice floors and not get them screwed up?
Don't waste your money on the
floors. They're going to grab your nail polish or they're going to crayon on the floor day two.
We have burn marks from, like, hot cocoa that melted the carpet.
I was going to say.
Actually, that carpet's gone now.
They can't even have fire, but somehow they'll create it on your floors.
Yeah,
like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You got to understand. All right.
I was walking through. We got new carpet recently, and my wife's like, what are you doing? You got shoes on. I'm like, it's my house. I paid
shoes.
For this.
One,
where would I want?
One time to be a house shoes, you got that.
Oh,
Let's hear what Second's got to say. I don't think so, but some people may. In Japan, removing one's shoes before entering a... Thank you. Entering a dwelling is customary. Mm-hmm. The soles of shoes are covered with germs, and if small children crawl around on your floors, it's not too much
what?
To ask.
The average mustache is covered in germs. Let's be honest here.
Be sure to warn prospective guests in advance so they can bring their own slippers or keep a supply of them by your front door. Wait a minute.
Wait, this is a BYOS party.
Hold up. You're going to tell your guests,
hey,
party slippers. In my place, be there at 6:30 yeah. or fashionably late by 7. Make certain you bring your own pair of slippers. But if you forget, I've got a stock of them at the door. Do you have different sizes, like you're a bowling alley? Like, what's going on right now?
Spray them down.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have the spray? I'm like, hey, do you have anything above a 14? And they go, no. And I have to say, can I have a 14 and a size 6 to just put them together?
Wait, Jeff, do those count, those booties?
Yeah, those little booties like the utility guys put on? Yeah, those are good.
I seriously.
Oh, they're disposable.
Oh, that's perfect. I want to contact the hospital supplier of the booties.
Yeah.
And then put those on my feet and walk around your house and slide through your kitchen.
Yeah, don't worry, bros. Sanitary booties at the door.
And they double as a hairnet.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, man, I got a big beard, too. Like,
got you covered up. From top to bottom.
Oh, it's no problems. No germs on these carpets. Oh, man. All right.
Okay, sorry, Boova. I found one. I'm going
to
do one.
I think you're about to do the one I was going to do, so go ahead.
Okay. It says, Dear Life from the Path, I'm a 57-year-old lady. Is this the one?
Yep.
All right. I've been a widow 23 years and chose not to date while raising my daughter, who is now 26. I would now like to meet a nice man to spend time with, but I suffer from an affliction many older women deal with, alopecia. My hair is very thin, but with wigs and makeup, I look attractive enough. I thought it was an allergy to almonds. I was wrong about that.
Alopecia?
Yeah, it's a hair problem. Okay, thin hair. I'm afraid I'm being deceptive when I meet a man like that. When is the right time to tell a man when he sees it, what he sees is not what he gets? I get it. So she's got thin hair, so she puts on wigs and makeup and thinks she looks okay. But she's afraid if she picks up a man, there's going to be a point where you got to spill the beans and say, I'm wearing a piece.
Just kind of come out in conversation. I mean, oh, by the way.
I wear a piece.
There is that date, that one date where you say, okay, let's just lay it all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, life's life. Life's that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she's coming up on 60. I don't.
Be careful.
Hold on. I think Nancy
coming up
might
on
have
60
a perspective.
Is a very young age.
Just wait on it. Wait on it. You're coming up on 60. I feel like there's no reason not to just be honest with this thing.
I don't think at any age there's no problem with being honest about this thing, but
I mean, does anyone think at 60 you have a 20-year-old head of hair?
Yeah, that's
right. I don't have one.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't.
There's no reason to set unreasonable expectations.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we may have a very skewed version of what this is going to look like, because none of us will ever experience this, especially not you, Ben.
I'm balding. I've been balding for a decade and a half.
Okay, so
I don't act like
here,
I have more hair than I have.
Like, I don't think that's a first date conversation. It's like, hey, by the way, you realize how great I look right now? It's completely fake.
I'm a fake.
I have makeup on, and this is a wig. Like, that's a weird way to do it.
Just go out
and I have dentures.
I think in society, men have an understanding that, like, we get that is a presented, artful way that you wanted to look today. Like, I think that we all understand that's the concept of makeup. That's the concept of doing your hair and dyeing your hair different colors. This is physically what you wanted to look like, and that may not be what you actually look like. If you're hanging around with some 60-year-old dude that doesn't get that yet, run.
Yeah, he's the wrong dude.
Run. Yeah. Because if he's the kind of guy that goes, hold up, that's makeup? That's not your actual face? Like, that is the kind of guy that was not been paying attention for 60 years.
Your eyelids are not naturally smoking?
This is outrageous.
Right, exactly.
There's a reason he's not married.
Right, exactly, right? There's a reason he's out dating, and he's probably at creepy bars when he's not with you, right? So,
yeah, right.
So if you're with the kind of guy that is going to actually be upset about that and be in the situation where he goes, I can't believe you fooled me into believing that that's what you actually look like, Myrtle. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, she's too worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to say, hey,
from a practical perspective, when you feel comfortable. It is not about how he feels comfortable or where he's at. If you feel comfortable having that conversation, I think that is your prerogative.
He's been sucking it in. You're going to find out.
Exactly.
He's lying.
Like, he doesn't naturally smell like that. He's wearing Stetson. Okay? like he's doing something.
And the Depends.
Right. exactly. There's one day when you're going to be sitting on the couch together, you're going to look over and be like, I knew that guy was bigger than what he was like.
Here's the deal. Every guy is going to try he's going to do a first date salad. All right? He's going to try to make it sound like he eats
than
he does.
Yeah, exactly. You sit there.
And here's the deal. That's a lie. That man's lying.
Yeah, the first couple dates, you're lying and figure out when to stop lying.
That salad is his hairpiece. All right? It ain't right.
Exactly. So honestly, when you're comfortable, it is about what you feel okay with. It is perfectly fine if you don't want to divulge that on the first date or the second date, but if you want to on the third, your prerogative. Go ahead.
I mean, don't say I do without telling the man you wear a
ring. Exactly. That'd be a long time. It's just like, hey, you know about my credit score and about everything I've done in the last 60 years, but by the way, Shazam. Like, I don't think that's a good way to do it. I don't know why you'd say Shazam when you take your wig off, but that's the first catchphrase I thought of.
I like it. All right, so how did we do? Did we get this? Nancy, we were on rough territory there. How did we do?
You were right on.
Okay, okay.
Did we have a date like that? I mean, did we have one particular time?
No.
where we finally were really honest. How do you name that? Okay, this is the third date. Okay.
Exactly. Fourth date is called the honesty
date. Full disclosure date.
Man, I thought that was going to take an odd turn. I said, Jeff, we kept ourselves out of trouble here, and you just decided to jump right in.
I just stepped right back in.
So, Nancy, when were you wearing that wig there? Love, Jeff. I had the false salad. All right, what's the secular advice?
Hey, you were the one who read this one.
Oh, shoot. Okay, sorry. let's see. Dear embarrassed. The logical time to tell someone would be at the point you are becoming intimate enough that he would be running his hands through your hair. Hey, I didn't see that coming. What are your thoughts?
Hey, hold up, hold
up
there,
buddy. What's your hair in my hand?
How many dates was that? That's
secular.
That's awkward.
Come on. Really? Like, I don't hold you to a high standard at all. I never once held you to a high standard. But, like, the date that you go, what? Like, that's not.
Can I take this home so I can remember you why?
At least it'll be, oh, man, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Change your wicked ways, secular.
Whoa, let me stop you right there, Buck Rogers.
before you put your hand in my hair. No. Before you run your hand passionately and lovingly through my hair, we need to talk about what this might consist of.
This belonged to a horse.
Yeah. I use mane and tail conditioner.
That is not a safe proposition. It's going to get caught in the Aquanet one way or the other. Like, real hair or not, you don't dive in.
The Aquanet.
That is a rough, that's a rough
that
idea.
A brand
I will say,
I've not heard
women
in a
can wear
time.
Wigs a whole lot better than men wear a toupee.
No, like, that's true. You know? I think we have very public proof of that right now.
Yeah. But we have some good spray-on stuff.
Yeah.
I swear my grandma was, or it was my mom's grandma was cycling through the Golden Girls hairstyles and wigs. Like she was just like trying some out after some cancer treatments. Uh-huh. And so like her hair was falling out, and so like, but like the array, she could not have if she wasn't doing it intentionally. But I mean they look just like cycling through Estelle Getty, and then you know Maude, you know, like it was she was rolling through the Golden Girls. It was some of them were dead on.
Wow.
Oh man. All right. Change your ways, secular.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't wait until the date when he's about to run his hands through your hair. That's creepy.
That's just not my standard. I feel like that's,
How do you stop someone in that? Hold up.
It's just like throwing someone up to block a, when someone try to poke your eyes.
You do this?
Yeah, that's what it's like. Before you touch my hair, I've got a few things to discuss.
Yeah. Travis, we've been going steady for a while now. We need to talk about my hairpiece.
I mean, that's equivalent of like a lady reaching out to rub a guy's belly, and he's like, hey, I've been wearing a man garter.
So, right, exactly. The day that she decides to go, hi, sweetheart, he goes, hold up.
Hold on.
Rips it off.
This is the real me.
I feel comfortable now.
And I'm a hair club for men member.
It's just hands her to the Just for Men box. This is who I really am.
Wow.
You can't handle
Come
this.
On, people. If you're planning on having legitimate relationships, understand that the honesty needs to be there, but it doesn't have to be day one. But you don't have to wait until it's weirdly awkward.
Yeah.
Just figure out communication. It's not that hard.
Yeah, like if they find out that your eyebrows were tattooed because they were going to take a grab of them. Like, it's too late. It's too late.
Hey, those look what? Like, that's.
But don't wait
don't
too
worry,
long.
None of those look like that.
Right. I've seen those too, and they're
don't
and
wait too
out.
Long because if you get to the wedding day and you don't recognize that person next
right,
to you,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
That's not a good
like,
thing.
And besides, you should have had very intimate conversations before your wedding day about the nitty gritty details of yourself so you know what you're getting into. And hopefully your wig came up in conversation before that day.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, sure.
Yeah, all right, all right. Let's do one more.
You got one more?
Hold on. No. What is that? A poem? Come on. Here's the deal. These self-serving people that are writing into the Dear Life and the Path with like, hey, here's this poem that I
Could
enjoy.
Could you tell people this for me?
Can this get on your national publication? Because that'd be great.
They created Facebook just for this type of thing, that you don't have to run it through the dear life from the path. All right, here we go. No, that one's not good.
Do you want me to pull one up?
Oh, yeah, here we go. This one. This one hits home. Dear life from the path, I have an issue with my father and don't know where to turn. Dad is in his early 80s and, aside from poor eyesight, he's in good health. I'm concerned because he has developed an unusual habit. He likes to look through the dumpsters behind the grocery store. Initially, he told me... Initially, he told me it was to get old produce for compost in his garden. See, this is what I was reading. If I kept reading, it seems better. First, I thought it was just get old produce.
Yeah, yeah.
It was to get old produce for compost in his garden. But I have learned that he eats some of the things he finds. He got
pops.
I have tried telling him this is dangerous. He could cut himself digging through the trash or get food poisoning. He refuses to listen and insists what he is doing is safe. He is not forced to do this out of economic necessity. He has enough money to buy groceries. The situation has become critical because he's now planning to cook something he found in the dumpster for a family gathering. Oh, that took a turn for the worse, Dan. I told him not to do it. If he does prepare food from the trash, I told him he must let people know where it came from. True form. So they can make an informed decision about whether to eat it. Actually, that's pretty judicious. Dear life from the path, please help. Grossed out.
All right. It's time to go to a neurologist. There's probably some dementia going on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That took
a turn. Don't want Grandpa's trash cabbage for Thanksgiving. Can we please stay away from that?
Yeah. That's not – Dan, I think I would agree with Dan. That's not just, like, quirky behavior. Like,
yeah, there's something –
It turned a corner.
Yeah. Is this man driving himself to the store and then going to the dumpsters? Are you taking him there? Or like,
that's a pretty common thing with dementia. They'll keep things in the refrigerator for
– Way too long.
Way too long.
Yeah.
They eat it and get sick. I used to have to watch my mom's stuff all the time.
Right,
I'd go in there and, hey, I'm just going to check and throw things away, you know, when they're not looking. And they just don't know. They're just not ready.
Yeah,
this
is your father. No matter how seasoned he is, I said that intentionally, how seasoned the man is, like, he's still your dad, and he's not going to take your direction very well, no matter what. And so you may be running into a problem with you trying to tell him, hey, Dad, stop eating the produce from the garbage. But you're exactly right. A neurologist or a medical professional of some kind.
Figure this out. Yeah, yeah.
Even explaining that that's a bad deal, maybe not finding dementia, but just saying, hey, maybe you should stop doing that, could be enough to deter this problem.
Yeah, so like I think where you got to be careful, right, is if you look at him, especially, you know, old guys get a tag of stubborn, but like,
right,
you know, this it may not just be, you're just not a guy set in his ways. There might be something going on.
Uh-huh.
It's worth checking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
However, if you find roadkill and use a little roadkill helper, it really seasons it up nicely.
It's going to be fine.
It's
delicious
great.
Possum
it's
for
stuff,
dinner with some trash cabbage. Mm-hmm.
Comes with its own rice.
Oh! Thank you, Dan. I'm not going to eat the next 5 days.
That was good.
That was one of the more gross things I've ever heard.
And Dan's invisible chalkboard and head goes, all right.
Yes! What was Second's advice on that one?
hold on a second. I'm getting to it. All right. Secular advice was... if you can't convince your father to disclose to relatives that the food he's serving may have come from a dumpster, you should alert them to that possibility. Moval, what are your recommendations on how to go about something like that? A sign at the door, please take off your shoes
and
heads
next
up.
To, next to our medical booties, there is a waiver that says if you eat Grandpa's dinner, there's a chance you'll get sick because it actually came from behind the fairway.
I mean, if it was well cooked, there's no reason
to exaggerate
the problem.
I don't know, yeah.
I still think that dumpster produce is probably going to be bad no matter what.
I feel like Jeff's more reasonable on this one. I'm going to talk to him about it.
All right, fair enough. You go talk to him. I'm going to stay over here in the healthy corner.
All right. Oh, there was a P.S. here. A worldwide trend I heard about recently is something called freeganism. The term is derived from a cross between free and vegan. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Freegans rescue food from behind markets to share among themselves to combat food waste. And in Paris... France, there's even a restaurant that serves food procured this way for a reduced fee.
Can I call that as a non-biblical sign of the apocalypse?
Yes.
Like, can I revisit that as freeganism? That's freaking ridiculous.
The fact that we have a name for it.
All right, you've made the tragic mistake of listening to Life in the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us so far tonight. Very much appreciate big thanks to Jeff and Nancy for coming in with... with the Fish Factory. Make sure you like that stuff on Facebook. And get in there and come visit. Like, come hang out.
That's Facebook, by the way, case you were going for fakebook.com.
Did I say fakebook?
You specifically said fakebook.
That was totally unintentional.
Fish Factory is on Facebook, everybody.
That does, okay, yeah, go to Facebook. That's
we
correct.
We have a dumpster out back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're freaking.
The possibilities are endless at the Fish Factory. All right, so anyway, go check that out. Hey, here's the deal. Employ the principle, right? Like, hey, commit long-term. You're in here for relationships. You're going to follow Jesus and take people with you. Taking people with you means they're coming along the journey that you're going on. That's a normal haul, right? It doesn't have to be extra heavy. It just has to be the haul that you're on, okay? So meet people where they're at. Hang out. The Fish Factory is open. You can come hang out there and meet folks, play cribbage. I got to learn it. I'm going
to
pick up
We cribbage. Might have to go together and learn some cribbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Do you have it at home?
Oh, I have practice it at home.
Is it a card game?
No.
Well, yeah, it's a card game with pegs. It's a counting game. You can do it, boys. You can do it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. She's taught me before. Okay. And I've been relatively successful in that, so I think she can do it again.
Okay, awesome. That's what we're going to do. All right. So anyway, like that stuff on Facebook and keep track of the events that are going on. That ladies' event's coming right up on
Tuesday the 28th.
28th. Doors open at 6:30. Starts at 7. And it's at 3720 Second Avenue. Thank you guys for coming in. I really do appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.